Well, let's go to the word of the Lord. How about that? If you're a guest tonight, we're so glad that you're here. God bless you. We want the Lord to minister and work in every life. And I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this church. Look around at somebody and tell them, hey, you're blessed. You're blessed. I think sometimes people don't realize the blessings that they have of being part of a good church family. And sometimes people think, well, I could just go anywhere and it'd be like this. And they don't understand. They just don't understand. And you know, I've been blessed to attend a lot of churches, be in service with a lot of different churches. Probably, you know, I would say the only two people in here that have been probably to more church services than me is Elder Brother Huey Long and Brother Greg Long, with traveling and music, Sister Long as well. But other than that, I've probably been to a lot of churches, traveling, preaching, and working in different ministry. And I want to tell you, this is one of the best. I feel like it's the best. And so I want to brag on you. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your love for the people of God, for the things of God. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And I was thinking about that earlier, and I wanted you to know that I'm so thankful to be a part of this house of the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go to the Word of God, Romans chapter 12. We're focusing this month on spiritual emphasis. We want to start the year off right. We're asking everybody to join together, be praying and fasting. If you can come by the church, please come by the church and pray here. If you've not started a Bible reading plan, we have some available in the foyer there, and that'll take you through the Bible in 1 year, or you could use your favorite Bible app. On Wednesday nights, we're looking at our mission, our purpose here at the Experience Church. It's love God, grow in faith, serve others, and go change the world. All right? So love, grow, serve, and go. Tonight, we're going to focus on the third part of that, serving others. Serving others. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It's great to see you here tonight. Looking forward to what God is going to do. We are all members of one body. We're members of one body, the body of Jesus Christ. After Jesus rose from the dead, he left no possible doubt that he had been resurrected. But he showed himself alive for 40 days to various people, to different groups. At one time, the Bible says it was over 500 people at one time that saw him. And then the disciples saw him ascend up into the clouds as he was taken up. And so today he is not physically in the earth, okay? He's not physically here. But his spirit has been poured out. And those who have been born again, those who have repented of their sins and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, those who have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are the body of Christ. The only physical presence that Jesus Christ now has here on the earth at this time is the body or the church. I pray that we're doing a good job of representing him to the world around us. Help us, Lord. We must never forget we're his representatives. And everywhere we go, in everything we say, in all that we do, we are reflecting, or we should be reflecting, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, he said, considering the mercy of God, considering the mercy of God, he said, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so when we consider all that God has done for us, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, when we remember today all that the hand of God has done for our life, it's only reasonable, it's only proper that we present ourselves, our physical body, for God to do with as he pleases. It's not too much to ask. That's what Paul said. He said it shouldn't be a problem. We shouldn't find it troublesome. After all that his mercy has done for us, to give our physical body to the service of Almighty God, that's just reasonable. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why does Paul say, don't be conformed to this world? Why does he say, hey, don't copy the way that this world thinks and the way that the world does things, and don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world? Because the world wants to force us into its own mold. The world wants the church to be no different than the world. Paul says we've got to resist that urge to conform to the things of this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way that we think. It starts in the mind. It starts in our mind. Oh, is there anybody here tonight that you're willing to let God transform your thinking? You're willing to let God change you, to transform us by renewing our mind so that we can know God's perfect will for our life, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't be so set in our will and in our way of seeing things and in our own dreams and desires that we're not willing to let God change our thinking so that he can show us his will and his desire for our life. Oh, but I want to tell you, this is so powerful here today, because God has a perfect will. God has something that's acceptable unto him. But we've got to let them renew our minds so that we can even see it. Oh, but you know what? This is what I want, and this is what I desire, and look at how perfectly all this fits into my plan. Help us, Lord. But what's God's plan? Have we stopped to consider that? That maybe our thinking is clouding our ability to know the will of God in our life, And oh, we all do well to pray, God, just let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because I want to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul goes on to say, he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you need to. We don't need to think we're better off than we really are. Help us, Lord. But think soberly. We need to be honest with ourselves. It's only through God that we are anything today. Come on, does anybody know that with me? Oh, God, He's responsible for anything good in my life. And we're blessed to be part of the body of Christ. And just like the physical body has different members that make up the physical body, yes, the body of Christ has many members. And we've all got different gifts and different abilities and ministries. And it's what makes the body of Christ and the church of the Lord so exciting and so wonderful to be a part of. How awesome that so many people can come from different walks of life, and we've all got different strengths and different perspectives, but we're together in unity doing the will of God. Amen. It's awesome when a body is working together in unity. Verse 10 of our text says we should be kindly affection one to another in brotherly love. We should have genuine affection for one another. You know? And just as a family, that's what we are. We're the family of God. And in honor, we should prefer one another, giving preference to one another. We should take delight in honoring someone else in the body above ourselves. Somebody say, it's not about me. It's about others. It's not about me. It's about others. When you start preaching about others, it can ruffle some feathers. And yeah, it can, because we don't want to hear about others. I want to hear about me. I want to talk about what's going on in my life. I want to talk about what I want. Somebody say, it's not about me. It's about others. It's about others. Romans 12 and 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The church and the people of God, there's no place for laziness. We don't need to be slothful in business. We're called to work. We're called to work. And Christians should be the best business people there are. I believe that. I believe God has called us to be leaders in our community, and I believe that the blessings of God are on His people, and I believe there's favor with people who have businesses that put God first. So not slothful in business. We don't want to be lazy, but we're going to work hard, being fervent in the Spirit. We should be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to be full of the Spirit of God, because I don't know what to do. And sometimes I've got to make decisions, and I don't know what's best, and I don't know how to think things through. But Lord, if I can be full of your Spirit and you can lead me and you can give me the wisdom that I need, what a blessing, what a benefit to be able to call on Almighty God and say, Lord, I got to have some help. And the one who created heaven and earth, the one that knows the end from the beginning, the one that understands hearts and minds and things that we can't see, he can say, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's where you need to go. Here's how you need to act. What a blessing to have the favor of God upon our life. So we should be full of the Holy Ghost, fervent in the Spirit, and then the last part there, serving the Lord. We're called to serve. We're called to serve. Sometimes we don't want to hear it, but we just read it. We are called to serve. Whenever we teach about our mission and our purpose here at the Experience, it's real easy for people to get behind three-fourths of it. Love God. Okay, I got you, Pastor. That's what we're supposed to do. I got that. Grow in faith. You know, everybody wants to grow. At least we should want to grow. But then we want to skip over that next part, serve others. Hang on. Can we just go past that to go change the world? That sounds awesome. But serve others. There's something about serving others that doesn't come naturally to us. It's not something that our flesh likes very much. We're naturally selfish. Did you know that? We naturally are selfish. And we don't like to do stuff that puts us out. We But the apostle Paul, he says when we consider all of the mercy of God and all that God has done for us, it's only reasonable that we present our body as a living sacrifice unto God. And that we should serve the Lord. How do we do that? By serving others. There's this story in Matthew that it shows really the way that Jesus, when he came, he totally disrupted the way that this world thinks and operates. Read with me in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." They didn't have a clue what they were asking for. And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is prepared of my Father." And when the 10 heard it, these were two, and so the other 10, when they heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. So these two guys had a little power play going on. And it didn't turn out so well for them. The other 10 disciples got upset about it. Does that remind you of anything in the real world? Okay? On the job somewhere, maybe, or in somebody's family, or in a church, in a youth group, in a music team, you know, whatever it could be. People get so concerned about who's going to get the most glory, who's going to have the most recognition, who's going to be in the spotlight. People that are most concerned about position are usually in the wrong position. And they need to position themselves humbly at an altar. God, I'm going to let you worry about position. I'm going to let you worry about my title. I'm going to let you worry about my reputation. Just let me serve, Lord. Let me be a help somewhere. Just let me find your will and then just do the will of God. Lord, just let me be available for how you want to use me. I don't care who gets the glory. I just want to see people going to heaven. I just want to see revival. I just want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Reading on in verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." Verse 26 says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus told them, he said, you know what, the Gentiles, they're all about who's the strongest, who's the most powerful, and who's the alpha. You know, that's how they say it today. Who can rise to the top and dominate everybody else? But then he says, that's not how my kingdom's going to be. You want to be part of my kingdom? It's not going to be this way. It shall not be so among you. But if you want to be great, be a servant. The way to go higher is to take yourself lower. And our example and what we're to strive to be like is the example of Jesus Christ. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now we read this story and we like to look at the mother and her two sons, it's easy to judge them. It's easy to sit back and judge them for their spirit of ambition. Their spirit of ambition. But here's the thing. Our flesh has the same desires that their flesh had. And too often we can find ourselves jockeying for position, trying to see how we can move up in the pecking order and how can we make ourselves look more important. And if anyone comes along who puts our position in jeopardy, and our flesh doesn't like that, and we want everybody to know how important we are. I want to tell you, hey, our flesh has the same desires that those disciples flesh had. And this was something that Jesus, he realized it was an important lesson they needed to know. So he took his time to teach them. The spirit of ambition, it has destroyed many a child of God, because they wanted and they desired and they craved, and their ambition ruined the plan that God had for their life. There was a plan of God, but their ambition ruined the plan of God. It's the battle that the devil had with Jesus all over again. The lust of the flesh. He offered something their flesh desired, and they went after it. The lust of the eye. The enemy showed them something that they wanted. Well, I want to be like this one. I want to have a ministry like that one. I want to be used like that one. And they saw that, and it was the lust of the eye. And, oh, can I go after that? The pride of life. Their pride craved a position. So that, well, I'll be important. Everybody will know who I am. Ambition clouds our thinking. It precludes us from seeing the will of God because it's our flesh that's leading the way. But whoever will be great among you, Jesus said, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. Here's the thing about God's kingdom. The more we submit to God's authority, the more we receive. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When we humble ourselves, God lifts us up when he's ready. And he knows when we're ready. Amen. I don't want to try to lift myself, my own self up before I'm ready. But God, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to stay close to you in prayer. I'm going to stay a servant. And Lord, if you want to raise me up, if you want to use me, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to just stay right here, I'm going to be humble and I'm going to wait on you. Praise the Lord. We can't truly understand authority unless we're under authority. A centurion came to Jesus, wanted healing for his servant, and Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. The centurion said, no, you know, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof, but just speak the word. And then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, he says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. To be in authority, we've got to be under authority. So we've got to sacrifice the spirit of ambition and be willing to pursue the will of God at all costs in our life. If we'll seek the first, the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us that then all these things shall be added unto you. Let's put God first. Let's put his will first. Let's seek his kingdom first. Amen. Somebody here today needs to realize God has an awesome plan for you. He has an awesome purpose. He has a ministry, a calling. He has a blessing. He has the favor of God upon you. But we've got to learn that, Lord, in your time, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to make myself available. And, Lord, use me as you want to. Praise the Lord. There are two types of people. There's two types of people. These were the words of Albert Schweitzer, the philosopher and physician who is well known for establishing a humanitarian hospital in West Central Africa. The story behind these words is actually quite interesting. Marion Hill was born in a royal palace in Hungary. She had all the privileges that went with. Her first spoon was literally made of solid gold. Think about that. As a child, she was sent only to the best of schools. As a young adult, she married a medical doctor named Otto Perminger. Marion then went on to become an actress. Her husband left medicine and became a famous movie director. And Marion lived a very visible public life. Her beauty and her personality made her a world-renowned hostess. She carried on a number of high-profile affairs. Her autobiography, interesting enough, it was called All I Want Is Everything. That was her autobiography. All I Want Is Everything. And for a time, it certainly seemed that everything was hers. But soon alcohol and drugs had emptied her of everything and had brought her to her knees. She attempted suicide on 3 different occasions. Otto divorced her. She returned to Vienna, Austria, and while she was there, she met Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who was home from his hospital work in Africa. He told her of all of his work, of its challenges, and how he was trying to shine a light in that difficult setting. When it came time for Dr. Schweitzer to return to Africa, Marion asked if she could join him in his work. And to everyone's surprise, he granted her the request. Marion Mills, the princess born in a palace with a golden spoon in her mouth, went to work in a little African village. The rest of her life was spent in the high calling of emptying bedpans, tearing sheets to make bandages, and cleaning up around the clinic. After her death in 1972, Time magazine cited a quote from Marion. Albert Schweitzer says there are 2 kinds of people. There are helpers and non-helpers. I thank God that he allowed me to become a helper, and in helping, she said, I found everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're somebody today who is looking for everything, may I refer you not to Hollywood, not to the celebrities of our society, not to Wall Street and corporate America, not to influencers on social media, not to all those who have everything that money can buy. No, if we're truly looking for everything, I want to tell you it's in serving others. It's in being a help to others. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I want to tell you, it's a priceless treasure. If we can find this, there really is everything in this. If I can find a way to minister to somebody, if I can find a way to point them to Jesus Christ, Lord, if you'll let me, if you'll give me the privilege of serving in your kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we a helper or a non-helper? Are we a help or are we a hurt? I hope we're not a hurt. It would pain me to know that I was a hurt to my church or to my pastor. I want to be a help. How about you? Amen. Have we answered the call to be a help in the kingdom of God? Sometimes it's hard to find those who are willing to help. Sometimes people are thinking more of, well, what's in it for me? How's this going to affect me? What am I going to have to give up to do this? Or maybe they don't really want to be a help. They just want a position. Give me a title so I can look important. Yeah, I want to be noticed, but when it comes to really doing some work, let somebody else be a help. All the while, the help that the church needs goes unhelped. And really, it's about souls. It's about souls. If we can remember that, serving others is about souls. Serving others is about souls. Don't let the word others become a dirty word in our life. Isn't that something? To some others, No, others? No, what about me? Luke tells about a lawyer that came to Jesus and he asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question. Jesus asked him, he said, well, what does the law say? The man said, well, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, well, that's right. And then the man asked the Lord, he said, well, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? What a question that is. Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus answered and tells about this traveler who is robbed and beaten and left for dead. And there was a certain priest that came by and he passed by on the other side. Then there was a Levite that came by and he did the same thing. But then there was a certain Samaritan. A Samaritan that had compassion on him and bound up his wounds and put him on his own ride and brought him to an inn and took care of him and even paid for his care when he left. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus asked, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. He couldn't bear to say the Samaritan, you know, that was. But he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So this man's question, it tells a lot about him. He knew the law, but apparently he had a small neighborhood. Because his question, who is my neighbor, gave away what was in his heart. Apparently he had trouble with the command, love my neighbor, unless he could limit the definition of who is his neighbor. Well, I can love one or two. I can love the ones that are nice to me. I can love the ones that smell good. I can love the ones that have a little bit of money. But can I limit it to that? It really seems that this man didn't think of some people as his neighbor, and he was trying to find justification. Imagine the shock of those who were there that day when Jesus tells the story, and the hero of the story is a Samaritan. They look down on them, but here's a hero. The priest and the Levite quickly avoided the victim of the robbery, and you know, they were busy. They had stuff to do, and the robbers could still be around, and you know, they were important people, and surely somebody else would help the man. But the Samaritan showed by his actions what love is. The reality of his compassion is seen in what he did to help the man. He was willing to be a help. And so the lawyer had asked Jesus the wrong question. In asking, who is my neighbor, he was trying to make the neighborhood really small. What he should have asked is, whose neighbor can I be? Whose neighbor can I be? He was asking, who do I have to treat as my neighbor? Who do I have to make my neighbor, and who can I ignore? Jesus was trying to help him see that he should take the initiative in seeing every person as his neighbor. What question are we asking today? Who is my neighbor? Who do I have to help? In what way do I have to serve? What am I required to do? Because I really don't want to do any more than just that. Is that what we're asking? Or whose neighbor can I be? Who can I help? Where can I be of service? How can I help in the kingdom of God? I hope today that we're all serving somewhere at the Experience Church. If not, please let me know if you're willing, and we'll find somewhere that you can be a help. And thank you to all of you who are. Our first steps, our next steps classes, they're designed to get people involved. If you've not gone through these discipleship classes, become a part. 10 a.m. Sunday morning before our service at 11. But a lot of times it's not necessarily the new people. I'm trying not to look around right now because I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. Sometimes it's those have been around for a while, but we just kind of feel like weather's not really a place. Somebody else has got it handled, and surely they got enough help in the nursery. No. There's never enough help in the nursery. Never. Oh, but think about how I could serve a single mother that comes to church and she's overwhelmed. And she's tired. And she's been dealing with that baby's been crying, and she's a good mother, but she's just tired and she needs a blessing. And she could come into the house of the Lord and the Spirit of God be moving, but all of a sudden the baby starts crying, and then she's taken out, and by the time the service is over, she's like, I should have just stayed home because I'm more stressed now than I was before. But think about how you could impact a soul for eternity. When that mother comes to church and she drops that baby off at nursery, and we check them in, and we have nursery workers that have had background checks and they've got a little training, and they take care of that baby and they love that baby, and they change the diaper right and it smells good when they give it back to her, and that mother's come and been blessed in the service and maybe received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey, I want to tell you, that kind of serving is being a help that makes a difference for eternity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, I'm not good with kids. Okay, well, we can find something. We can find something. You know how many times I drive through the parking lot and I find trash? Somebody just drove through the parking lot and had lunch at McDonald's. They're like, okay, somebody picked that up and they throw it out. You know how many times I'm walking through the foyer or somewhere else and I just see, you know, there's a candy wrapper or there's something there and I pick it up, put it in my pocket, go put it in the trash at some point. Sometimes it's a Kleenex that somebody has used. They didn't realize they dropped it, you know, but it's there. And how can we be a help? This is our church, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Taking care of our facilities, going to the restroom. Sometimes in the restroom, those faucets, sometimes we might need to get new faucets. I understand some of them spray everywhere. And we've got the nice, you know, granite countertops, but there can be water. Why not just get an extra paper towel or two and just wipe that up? Amen. Just take care of it. Make it look nice. We all need to find somewhere we can serve. Maybe you're an elder tonight, and I realize that, and we honor you because you have served for years, but maybe you're a little more limited in what you can do physically. That's okay. The pastor would love to have your help in prayer. Amen. The pastor would love to have your help in prayer. You're a support to this church. We need you. We need you. In fact, do you know how powerful it is in a service? When new people are praying and they come to the altar and you elders come around them, and the support of your prayer encourages them and prays with them and ministers to them, I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. Somebody who has been down some roads and you've experienced some things and you know that God is faithful to His Word. You know that the promises of God are yea and amen. And you can pray with somebody that they don't have a clue about Jesus, but they just know, here's somebody that's loving me. Here's somebody that's helping me. Here's somebody that cares about me. Hallelujah. Nobody should be alone when they come to the altar. Amen. Now, you don't need to be just kind of listening. What are they praying? You know, what are they confessing to the Lord? Yeah. But nobody should come up here. I remember I went to this church one time and I visited it. And it was supposedly this great church. And I was excited about going. And it was a Wednesday night and it was a little dry. But I felt the Spirit of the Lord. So altar call was given. I just went to the altar. Now, I didn't need the Holy Ghost. I already had the Holy Ghost. But I wanted to go and pray. And so I'm up there praying and seeking the Lord, and I look around. There's nobody else in the altar. Nobody was praying with me, and nobody else was praying either. That poor pastor, I tell you what. That should never be. That should never be. How can I be a help? Make up your mind. When the altar call's given, I'm headed to the front. If I don't need a blessing, I'm going to find somebody else who does, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith with them. I'm going to be a help to somebody. I'm going to minister to somebody. It's all about souls. It's all about others. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Find a way to interact with our guests. When our guests come, don't let them just, you know, come in and when we have our times of greeting and all that, and they're just standing there by themselves, and make a point. Find, you know, don't let it be awkward. Find you four or five questions that you can ask them to kind of get the conversation going. If you don't know how to do that, ask Siri or ChatGPT or something. Hey, what's some conversation starters? Okay? And smile. That really helps. Just do that. If you can't talk, just smile. Just walk up and smile. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a place for everybody to be a help. Amen. The Lord told the disciples, he said, go tell the owner of a donkey and a colt that the Lord has need of them. That donkey would bear the Messiah into Jerusalem. He would walk on palm branches and garments that lined the master's pathway. He would carry the Lord, the King of Kings, into the city as the people shouted, Hosanna. Jesus knew where the donkey was tied up. He knew the donkey's purpose before the donkey knew it. And he used that donkey in a way that made it famous for all of history. I've come to tell somebody here tonight, God knows where we are too. And sometimes we get to feeling, well, I'm tied up. I'm not being used. My ministry, my calling is greater than where I'm at right now. And sometimes, but God knows what he wants us to do before we even see it, before we realize it. The all-powerful God of the universe is calling each and every one of us to serve, to be a help. If we'll yield to his will, we too will be able to carry something that's much bigger than we are ourselves. We too will support something that's going to last for eternity. We too will be part of the greatest kingdom there is, the kingdom of God that'll reign forever and ever. I often think about that donkey, that colt. Says they were tied where two ways meet. You could say, in the eyes of the donkey and the colt, they were stuck. They didn't know which way to go, and they're just stuck. But Jesus knew where they were. Sometimes we think, well, I'm stuck teaching this Sunday school class. I'm stuck cleaning the church. I'm stuck serving on the landscape team. I've thought that before, I'll just be honest. Well, I'm stuck digging this ditch. I want to tell you how many times I have found myself working for a church digging a ditch. And just because I'm pastor doesn't mean I'm too good. Sometimes you just got to go dig a ditch. There's just work to be done. You got to do it. Maybe it's not that we're stuck. Maybe it's God says, I've got this for you to do because there's something about this that is teaching you for that. And then when you go to that, that's not the end, no. But there's something about that that's going to prepare you for the next level. And if we get to saying, well, I'm stuck and I don't like this and I want to be over there, and then we step out of what we're learning to prepare us for over there. Sometimes we just got to say, God, how can I be a help? How can I serve? How can I be faithful? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done. Would you come to the altar? Would you say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am, use me, Lord. God, whatever you want to do, God, help me. I humble myself before you, Jesus. I humble